In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
I'm sure that most of us in our lives have, at some point, or maybe multiple points, experienced having the expectations of others placed upon us. And many times when other people place expectations upon us, we don't know exactly what their expectations are. They can be unclear, and it can be a disturbing and difficult thing to go through. It can happen in the context of family, where a family member expects us to do something and doesn't communicate clearly what that expectation is, and disappointment and hurt feelings follow. It could be in the context of a classroom, where a teacher doesn't communicate clearly what the grading standards are and what they expect, and thereby we have to navigate through this maze to try to find out what is expected of us as a student. It could be our employer, who has expectations that may be clear in his mind, her mind, but they are not clearly communicated to us, and thus we find ourselves in that struggle of finding our way of what's expected of us, doing the things that are expected, not knowing what that is. It can be frustrating and difficult to proceed in that. And there are many who will approach their faith in a similar manner, somehow thinking that God's expectations on us are, in that same and similar manner, they're vague. Even Christians that will have that perspective sometimes and think that they need to traverse the globe to discover what God really expects of them. Yet, I need to remind us this morning that God isn't in the business of making things unclear, but rather God is in the business of making things clearer for us. He is constantly revealing himself in this world and constantly revealing the way to us and showing us how we should walk. He doesn't leave us in a fog of not knowing what we're supposed to do. Sure, there may be times and moments in our life when we're seeking direction and it's not clear to us. But in time, with prayer, God always makes the path clear to us, what we are to do, which way we are to go. And it's been that case ever since the ages past. In the Old Covenant, God made his expectations clear. In Deuteronomy 30, there is one of the last public proclamations of the prophet Moses. At this point in his life, he's 120 years old. His life is nearing its end. And he gathers the people and he speaks to them a summary of what they have been through over the 40 years traveling through the wilderness. And he summarizes what God expected of them. And what was it essentially that God expected of them? Essentially, it was two concepts, loyalty and obedience. And what was loyalty? Loyalty was simply staying away from idolatry, remaining faithful to God in their love, in their devotion, in their worship of him and him only. And what was obedience? It was simply following the commandments that had been given to them, following the law that Moses had just prescribed for them. This was obedience. This was loyalty. And this summary passage of Deuteronomy 30, it explains Moses to them that God's expectations are not a heavy burden. They're not too burdensome. That they don't need to traverse into the heavens to try to find what God expects of them. They don't need to try to cross the sea in order to discover what is God's expectation. God's expectation has been revealed through the law. It's before them. It's ever near to them. It's in their mouths and in their hearts. And the prophet utters a final challenge. He says, I set before you today life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. Love the Lord your God. Obey his voice to him. Passage is essential for us to look at this morning. It's essential in understanding the epistle text to the Romans today. Because in the day, the apostle is quoting from this passage in Deuteronomy 30. He, in a sense, in this passage, is summarizing the content of Deuteronomy 30. He even is interpreting the passage in a new manner. The Testament passage that was clearly in the minds of many of his hearers, seen through the lens of Christ. This Old Testament passage is given new meaning in the light of Christ. However, even though the apostle is looking at that passage in a new way, perhaps for many, he's assuring them essentially of the same point, that God's expectation on them has not changed. What did God expect of old? It's the same thing down through the ages, down to the present age. God still expects the same thing, loyalty and obedience. It's the same thing, it's only expressed differently. It's expressed by our faith in Christ. What does the apostle say? Christ is the end of the law. Everyone who has faith can be justified. In other words, everyone through faith can find that right standing before God, can have that right relationship with God. God's righteousness is available to us, is experienced through faith in Christ. The expectation is simple, and it's near to us. It's not far away. The righteousness that is based on faith is close at hand. And that's ultimately because it's centered in the person of Christ himself. We need not ascend into the heavens or descend the abyss searching for these things. It's already near to us. It's on our lips and in our hearts. You see, the apostle, with a delicate precision, takes those words of Moses and he applies them to our life in Christ. As the law was accessible to the Old Testament believer, as the law was available and near to them, so it is today for us that Christ becomes for us the embodiment, the fulfillment of the law, and Christ becomes for us accessible. He's accessible to us as believers. Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment of the law. Christ is ever near to us. We don't need to search the heavens, nor the abyss to find God, to find Christ. God has made himself available to us. God has become man and dwelt among us. Christ has made himself ever accessible to us through his incarnation. And even now, Christ is available to each and every one of us through faith. God's expectation on us hasn't changed. God's expectation, what it was of old, still it is today. He expects loyalty and obedience. God expects loyalty even now. But the unfaithfulness of idolatry now takes on a broader meaning than it once did in ages past. Faithfully loving God, proclaiming a loyalty to God, it now means loving him above all else in life. And idolatry is far from just bowing down to a graven image or offering incense to an idol. Idolatry is now anything that comes between us and God. Anything that takes a higher priority in our life than God himself. Anything that we love more than God himself. Even we ourselves sometimes get placed on that pedestal. It can be anything. It can be the things of this world. It can be the passions of our heart. It can be we ourselves. And when we do these things, we have created an idol that comes between us and God, and we recognize in those moments we're not faithfully serving God. We're not fulfilling that expectation of loyalty, because we must elevate God above all else in our life. We must faithfully love him with our whole heart, not with a divided heart, not questioning what we love more. And God also expects even now our obedience. And now we obey a higher law than the law of the Old Testament. Because now, what is our obedience to? It's to the law of love. The greatest of the commandments is love. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Love your fellow man. We love God above all else, and we are to love our neighbor, to love our fellow man as ourselves, even love our enemy. We are to pursue the law of love. And this is what we live under obedience to, the law of love, under the obedience of love. So the message the Apostle Paul was preaching was essentially the same message as of old. As it was once in the past, so it is today, that God expects loyalty and obedience. God expects the loyalty of loving him above all else in life, and God expects the obedience to the greatest of the commandments, to love. That expectation is not far from us. It's near to us. It can be found on our lips and in our hearts. It can be found on our lips as we confess Christ. It can be found on our lips as we sing praise to Christ. It can be found on our lips as we give thanks to Christ. Christ, in those moments, is as near to us as those words that are being given to him. Christ is there, even on our lips. And it's in our hearts because Christ comes to dwell in our hearts through faith. We believe and we put our trust in Christ. We are baptized into Christ, and what happens? Christ comes to dwell in our hearts. Moses concluded his summary statements with that challenge. Before you I place life and death. Choose life, he said. And in a sense, that same all the days of our life, before us is a choice of life and death. The same challenge is there before us, to choose life or to choose death. And we are to choose Christ, who is our life. See, choosing the faith, the obedience of love, that is how we choose life. Faithfulness and obedience of love is where we experience life in Christ. But rejecting the faithfulness and the obedience of love, in rejecting this, we in effect choose death. Life, to choose loyalty and obedience to God, to choose to love, and thus we experience life. Let us put our faith and our trust in Christ. Christ is ever near to us and can be found on the lips of our confession. Christ is ever near to us and can be found in the depths of our own hearts. Let us choose life in Christ. Let us choose to loyally and faithfully love God, and let us choose to faithfully obey the law of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.